You're listening to Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles, over 4,500 on the Sonic, over 12,500 on the Tahoe. You won't believe what you can say. Stop in, check it out right now at Lakewood Chev. Our next guest led the Nadukes to a perfect season a few years ago. Then he went down south to NCAA. He's now the head coach of the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Mike Gabinet joins us. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate it. So you have the perfect season in ACAC, and obviously that gets noticed in the coaching ranks, and you get invited back to the place where you played 4 years of college at the Nebraska-Omaha, and assistant coach for a year. Now you're the head coach. What was the biggest difference you noticed from NCAA to ACAC?
You know, I think I always give ACAC a lot of credit because I think it's a great league, and I think there's a lot of really good players there, and that was one of our objectives at Nate, was kind of that it's not kind of the last stop on your playing career. It's a stepping stone to maybe play after or make sure we're doing a good job over there. But definitely I think we have, you know, 9 drafted players on our team right now. So I think it's the NCHC was the conference we play in. I think the stat was 5 players right after the season was over, and then NCAA went straight to the NHL to play an NHL game. So obviously the level is very high, and the players are all looking to kind of make that jump to the NHL.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Maybe, you know, players. So as a coach then, do you alter at all what you did at ACAC and how you coach at NCAA? Like, is there a noticeable difference in strategy in the two leagues?
I don't think so. I think coaching is coaching. You know, I think some of my buddies are just kind of retiring from playing, and they're asking, I think, you just got to coach. Whatever level it is, you got to learn how to talk to a group of people and get them to believe in what you're trying to accomplish together. So I think a lot of it stays the same. We're fortunate here to have maybe a little bit more time with our athletes.
Okay.
It's a little bit more of a full-time gig, you know, with you know, we have a full-time strength and conditioning coach, an athletic therapist, and you name it, we have it here as far as resources. So as far as that goes, it's a little bit more kind of a full-time basis with everybody around the program helping out.
And you're a very young coach, you know, turned 36 in September, Mike, and, you know, having a lot of early success in your coaching year. A lot of people don't know this, but Claire Drake, who's finally getting inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, is your grandfather. So safe to say you maybe were able to glean a lot of information from Grandpa around the family table over the years?
Yeah, definitely fortunate to grow up with a lot of special people around me, and Graham's being one of those guys. And as you can see with some of the nice comments he gets from some of the more elite coaches in the game, in today's game, are paying compliments to him. And it just goes to show you how far advanced he was in his day and what he brought to the table. So it's a special environment to grow up in, that's for sure.
Now, you played, of course, minor pro hockey in your career. And of course, college hockey. So you're a guy who was a good hockey player. When did you always like pick up little tidbits from him? Did his advice as a grandfather? I don't know how often you talked. As a young kid, did you go to him, or were you kind of like, oh yeah, he's grandpa. He's not one of the greatest coaches ever. How did you look at it?
Yeah. Well, first off, he's always been gramps to me. Definitely one of the best all time babysitters. That's for sure. but yeah, you know, when you get a little bit older and you start. And I kind of played football growing up, too, and football and hockey, so I wasn't really kind of a one root into hockey until probably I was about 17, and then kind of started to, you know, I'm kind of one of the late bloomer stories that you never played AAA hockey until my last year, major AAA, and got cut, and then went over to the Maple Leafs and played my last year, major AAA, then 1 year junior, then boom, scholarship to the NCAA, and then get drafted to the NHL, so things happened kind of quickly for me, so I was always kind of just a student of the game and learning from Gramps. And so, and then when I went into the pro career, I actually had a lot of injuries throughout my career, which now is a little bit of a blessing in disguise because I got to play for a lot of different coaches and watch a lot of hockey too and learn the game. And so I always figured I'd get into coaching once I was done playing.
Mike Gabinet joins us. So when those injuries, I guess, sucked for your career, but allowed you to open up your eyes to another opportunity. And then once you got into coaching, did Claire offer you, does he have a binder of drills and plays that you were just like, hey, can I photocopy that? How'd it work?
Yeah, the binders is definitely the right statement there. So a lot of information. And to be honest, and just as a kid growing up, you don't realize your parents or your grandparents, maybe to get a little bit older, kind of the things you're learning from them. And I found that same with coaching. I mean, I've had all this information over the years and sheets on all different systems and philosophies and building a culture and communicating with your players. the one thing that's surprising and, you know, allows you to take a step back is just how far advanced I think he was in his day with five-man units and aggressive penalty kill and really creating that culture and having that communication style. You know, he was never a yellow or a screamer, and he was more a, you know, communicator, and I think that's kind of the style of coach you're seeing now. And now the days of the dictatorship coaches are kind of slowly phasing out a little bit, and his style is kind of more prevailing a little bit, which is kind of neat to see.
Yeah, it is interesting how it's changed over time, and it's funny how we hear a lot Ken Hitchcock and Mike Babcock and many of the others talk about the tree of Claire Drake and how he has influenced so many coaches. And, you know, you obviously, because you're younger now, you know, somebody who's in that tree for sure, and maybe got a little different type of a treatment just because you were able to just sit around the, you know, the family dinner table sometimes, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you'd flip over the piece of paper and be like, well, hey, I'm thinking this on a breakout, or I'm thinking this on a power play, and away you go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of the privileges. You know, you got to pick his brain on penalty kill and power play and five-man units, and he's really big on face-offs. And then one of the biggest things for me, there's two things of coaching. There's the art of coaching, and then there's the science of coaching. The science of coaching would be all your technical stuff, your X's and O's, and then the art of coaching would be all your culture and your communication style. So definitely fortunate to learn both of those aspects from him. And also, like you said, I mean, I'm really close with Billy Morris, who was a longtime coach with Gramps, and I still probably spend 3 hours a week talking to him on the phone as a mentor. And so to have that available to me, I almost call it an unfair advantage, because you're learning from such experienced and knowledgeable people that allow you to kind of get a head start on everybody.
Now, Mike, for you, looking ahead to this season now as the head coach, you want to put your stamp on the team. How's your team shaping up right now? How does it look on paper?
Yeah, it's great. We actually got everybody in town now. They're back for summer school, and they're working out. So they're working out and skating. I don't know if you know much about Nebraska Omaha, but we just 2 years ago built a $100 million facility right on campus. So it's almost like a miniature Rogers Arena. We got the practice rink connected to the 8,000-seat arena, and so it's our home base. So we got the weight room in here, the physio area, the locker room. So our guys come in for a workout in the morning, and they go do some skill stuff on the ice, and they go right to class for summer school. So it's a great environment for these guys to get better in the summer, and we're fortunate to have them here for a couple months while they get ahead in their studies a little bit and then get kind of trained in their home environment. And so it's exciting. And then kind of building that culture and putting your stamp on how you want things done and growing the existing stuff that was done here before by the previous coaches. So it's all a process, and we're working on it every day.
What are things that you want to put your stamp on? How are you going to be different as a coach from your players' perspective than maybe last year?
You know, I think for sure it's relationship building. You know, you got to get to know these guys, what's motivating them, what's going to inspire them. I think the best thing you can do as a coach is inspire people instead of motivate them. Ultimately, we kind of have a saying that, you know, champions take personal responsibility to get better every day. I think there's one thing as a coach that you want your players to do is realize they got to do it. You know, as a parent or a teacher, eventually the player has to do it. So we're trying to inspire that into the culture here. And then, you know, we have our core values that we talk about clearly and consistently on a daily basis. And that's kind of how we conduct ourselves around the rink, on and off the ice. And then that all comes down to the process, you know. And if we do those things, hopefully, you know, that kind of leads us to competitive greatness, which means when it matters the most, we're at our best. So those are things we're kind of putting in place here for the summer to allow for the start of the season.
The conference, how well, having played in it many years ago, of course, I think you played in the early 2000s at Nebraska Omaha in the CCHA. Has it changed a lot from when you were there 15 years ago?
Yeah, you know, so now it's called the NCHC. And so the NCHC conference is us, Denver, North Dakota, Minnesota Duluth, Miami of Ohio, St. Cloud. So they're calling it the toughest conference in college hockey. I think two of the last three national championships have come out of our conference, with North Dakota and Denver being the last two guys to win the champions. So it's a little bit like the NHL. There are no easy nights. I think we had at one point last year, six of the eight teams in our conference were ranked in the top 20 in the country. So it's a real competitive conference, which is really exciting to coach. And we've got, you know, Andy Murray's coaching Western Michigan, Havlat's in Colorado College. A lot of the coaches in the conference all have NHL experience. So it's just a real competitive conference. And I think that's why you're seeing so many guys like our alumni Jake Gunsell, who was here 2 years ago. I mean, he, you know, he saw what he did with the Pittsburgh Penguins in the NHL playoffs. So it's a really neat environment for guys to come in here and play against older guys that against that high level that they're able to kind of step into the National Hockey League and contribute right away.
Yeah, that's massive. The program itself, like college sports at NCAA Division I programs, is big business as much as it is about the education factor. And, you know, you look at that as a coach, and that definitely gives you more opportunities. Your practice facility is way better, your video room, all those type of things. How does that enable you to be a better coach?
I think you just got to use those resources. I think it's the old technology thing. You know, you don't need to be on cutting edge, but you don't want to fall behind either. So I think we got to use those to our advantage. And like you said, the one nice thing about the NCAA is the community support is outstanding. You know, we get 8,000 people at our games, and we're the big show in town. You know, there's Nebraska football, which is about an hour away, and there's Creighton basketball, which is downtown. So we got to utilize those people that are willing to help out the program to allow our athletes some of the facilities to train and get better in. And, you know, it's not the facilities that make the player or the program, but it definitely helps. And so we got to instill those values so our players are grateful that we have those resources available, but that we're also using them to make ourselves better.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate it. We'll be following this season. We'll talk to you often, and congratulations to your entire family. I know the coaching fraternity was obviously very excited when Claire got announced that he was going into November. Are you planning on being there, or have you looked at the schedule? I know it's on a Monday, so I don't know if you can make it or not.
Yeah, hopefully we can. I think we're on the road that weekend, but hopefully maybe we can zip in there for the day, and that would work out great. And thanks for your support, and thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Thanks. Mike Gabinet.